Now I share my experience, strength, and hope for the next 15 to 20 minutes. And do we have a timer? There.
Dang. Yes, I'm here. I'll give you 21 minutes. So when it beeps, you'll have 1 minute.
Okay.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi. All right. Hey, everybody. I'm Joyce.
Hey,
Hi.
Joyce. Hi, Joyce.
I'm Lawrence, Kansas, and we had snow last night, and it's kind of pretty. I guess, I haven't spoken at a meeting for a while, but I was always told when you're asked to speak, the answer is yes. You're supposed to respond, because what the heck? And so this morning I was thinking, well, I haven't really prepared anything, but I also remember a lot of times people say they just ask God to guide what they say. And that maybe what we say will be a benefit to somebody. Or oftentimes, after a meeting, I find even that what I've shared in a meeting was very much a benefit to me. It was what I needed to hear. So, anyway, hopefully, somebody will benefit. What it was like. I grew up in a small town in Kansas. Three brothers, two parents. Fairly chaotic home. I remember one of my first vivid memories of eating compulsively was sitting in the back seat with all the groceries my mom and I had gone to the grocery store to get on a Saturday night. That was tradition in the small town. Everybody went to town and got groceries on Saturday night. But I was eating bread out of the bread wrapper, and it's like I couldn't quit. And I remember my mom saying, I don't know how she said it. I mean, if she didn't want me to eat up all the bread, or if she didn't want my body to have all that bread inside of it. I was about fourth grade, and I remember the shame and the confusion, and that's kind of that stuck with me as one of my first memories. And I remember loving mashed potatoes and gravy and all the carb stuff. And so I'm quite certain I was probably born a compulsive eater, and it didn't really start getting full blown until probably junior high or junior high and high school. I remember I was in junior high probably, or freshman in high school. I had gotten sick, had the flu, and was out of school for a few days, and I hadn't eaten much, and I remember I just continued to not eat, and I lost a fair amount of weight. And I mean, I'm short, and so for me, a fair amount of weight is 5, 10, 15 pounds. And I got down to a lowest weight I had had probably since I was in early mid grade school. I don't know. And I remember that feeling of not eating, and it was kind of powerful. But then I also remember that feeling of once I started eating again, I couldn't quit. And I just rapidly gained back everything I had lost, and then began my upward spiral. And I remember starting writing notes to myself, I will lay way less than my friend Mary Lou by Christmas, or all these things, to beginning to be aware, even as a early teenager, that I needed to control my weight, and I wouldn't be cheerleader, or I wouldn't have dates or whatever. And so early on, I really put on a cloak of shame about my weight and what I ate, and I dated some guys in high school, and but with each added year, I became obsessed with food and not eating and eating too much and just being out of control. And I've always been fairly physically active, so I maintained a decent weight. Well, I don't know. I mean, I didn't think it was decent, but food has just been a huge negative shameful part of my life and body image. And I went to the what we call the pay and wave club, and I was in and out. I have left and said I should have had the award for the most times paying my dues, joining. And after the 16-week thing, when you're supposed to have lost a certain amount of weight, I would quit because I never made it to that goal. And that was also demoralizing. And I think I remember the first time I ever went to that group, I was married and pregnant with my second child. I think later, wow, why was I going to diet club to lose weight when I was pregnant and age 25 or whatever? But anyway, my point being, I'm a fan of large eaters, and I have been a large eater all my life. And I first came into the program when my marriage and family were in a big crisis, and we were headed for divorce and financial problems. And anyway, and my husband was drinking, and my son was in high school, was drinking, and I was going to open AA meetings. And then if somebody there, after hearing my, becoming friends, she said, "I think you ought to try Overeaters Anonymous." And I had never heard of it, but I eventually found it, and that would have been in the late 1980s, and I've been off and on a member of Overeaters Anonymous ever since, and it has been a very important part of my life. I've never lost a stupendous amount of weight. I did, after I completed graduate school, I moved to California from Kansas, and I was fortunate to get a job doing research for NASA in the space program. And I was in the Mountain View, California area, and I attended OA meetings there, but I was extremely depressed. And it was the first time I'd ever encountered alcohol sold in the grocery store. And I started buying red wine, and that was my companion every night. So, it's just, I don't know. And I continued to go to OA, and then I also went to some AA meetings. And so 12-step program has been an extremely important part of my life. And I might add too that in my tw late teens, 20s, 30s, I had decided, and I had really turned against the teachings of what I learned in a Protestant church, and became what I felt was atheist, agnostic, could said I really didn't want to hear the words, the typical religious words of church or synagogue or God or anything. And I had a huge anger about that. And anyway, I continued working with sponsors and did a huge fourth and fifth step on the anger I felt toward my mom and toward my dad. And it was the whole program, the way it's designed, it just really gradually helps us work our way out of the anger and the resentment. And I really got serious about OA and AA after I moved back to Kansas from California. And I knew something had to change because I was headed up toward weighing 200 pounds, and I'm now 5 feet tall, and so 200 pounds is, I felt like I was as wide as I was tall. But I have had sponsors at times, and sometimes I've tried to wing it on my own without sponsors, but it always works much better if I have a sponsor and if I sponsor others. And since COVID, I'm very glad that COVID introduced Zoom meetings to us. And I now attend this SCIVI meeting, generally maybe 2 to 3 times a week. And I also attend one in a friend introduced me to in Washington State, and I attend the local meeting here in Lawrence, and I'm so glad for it. And I feel the most important part of the program. I mean, it's certainly a spiritual program for me now, and I have gained a deep sense of spirituality, and I believe in a higher power. It's very different from the organized version I learned as a kid, but it's extremely important. And I have a morning ritual each morning. I burn 3 candles and have some tea and sometimes play music and but do my spiritual reading, and that includes OA literature, sometimes AA literature, and just try my head on straight in terms of learning real, I mean, reinforcing what I learn in this program. As you know, as it says in the AA big book, when I'm disgruntled with the world, it's probably not because something out there that I'm blaming is the problem. The problem generally is within me, and I'm learning to look within and say, okay, what's going on? What am I disgruntled about? And it's a guarantee that if I get off of my eating plan, I get disgruntled and angry at myself. And my eating plan is to, I now eat 3 meals a day, and I have certain foods I eat and certain foods I definitely don't eat. And I eat gluten free. I don't eat wheat, and I use a little bit of honey in my tea, but I stay away from the carbs. And I mean, I have some each day because it's necessary for the diet, but I have learned to eat. And one of the most important things I first heard was, oh, maybe 6 or 8 years ago, somebody said in a meeting, I've learned to say to myself, this isn't, that is not my food. If I'm tempted, if I want to eat more food than I've been eating, I mean, you know, I just, if I want to keep on eating, or if I want to, if I'm out somewhere and while everybody's having dinner rolls, I think I ought to have one too. If I can remember the phrase, that is not my food, it really helps me put on the brakes and say, oops, okay. And it's important for me to practice listening to that little small voice that says, it's not my food. That little voice that says, don't do that, you know, because sometimes I want to override it and I think I know best, but I don't in the big picture. I mean, for the moment, it might feel great to have the frosting layer of a piece of chocolate cake at a wedding or something, but later it's like, it's not worth it. And, but it takes, I'm a slow learner, and it takes a lot of practice to get it right and to repeat and remember. And I love it in our program when people talk about relapses, they talk about struggling with certain foods or certain, for me, a lot of it is, it's not so much the food, but it's the eating behaviors, how I eat. I don't stand in front of the refrigerator and eat, or stand at my kitchen counter and eat. I don't, my plan is to not eat anything as I'm cooking. What I do eat, it's on a plate and I'm sitting down at my table. And instead of that non-stop eating that I used to do, that sort of skip on breakfast because I'm not hungry, and then later I think, oh, gosh, I didn't eat much for breakfast. I'll eat a bigger lunch. And then later it's like, oh, I'm full or whatever. You know, it's just like it totally messes up. And I end up eating numerous times a day and way more calories than a football player would need. And that is very, very, very demoralizing for me. And then I might even eat into the evening, and then I'm full when I go to bed, and it's like I wake up at midnight, and it's like, oh my gosh, and I'm angry at myself. So I have had a lot of self-anger that I'm learning to not have anymore because I quit doing the things that make me angry at myself. So I guess in the biggest picture, I would say I have gained a sense of spirituality that has and continues to take me out of self-hatred and self-loathing and shows me a way of, gosh, I'm happy to be me. I'm 80 years old and I didn't know I'd ever quit having those negative self thoughts 24/7, and it's really pretty amazing. I'm very, very, very happy. And I have, as I've shared in this meeting, I've struggled with depression most of my life, and I that has been a real factor. I take medication for it and see a medical person ever so often for that. But the more I have my life in control or non-disorganized, the more the less depression I have because I'm not running that self-anger tape that I had been doing. And another big thing that I also have shared in this meeting is I have, in the last several years, during COVID, I was diagnosed with fairly severe ADHD. And I know I've had that all my life, but I always compensated. And then now in retirement, I don't have the structure, the deadlines, the have to be somewhere at a certain time. So it's just up to me. And it's so easy for me to procrastinate, to put off doing things that I should get done. And sometimes the only motivation is, gosh, somebody's coming over this afternoon, so I better hurry up and pile all this stuff in from my living room, put it in a basket, and put it in the bedroom, close the door, and I have spent a lot of time doing that. And so I'm working with that, and I'm working with keeping my food, I guess, kind of according, I don't know, grid or anyway, a schedule instead of being free form. And I tend to be impulsive and want to live free form. And if I'm going on a trip somewhere, somebody will say, "Well, you have your trip all planned out." And I say, "No." A lot of friends, if they're going on a 10-day trip, they know what town and what motel they're staying in every night. And I just sort of wing it. And I'm trying to learn to be more organized in so many ways. So I would say I am quite happy now. I'm happy, but I definitely, definitely, definitely know it is an hourly and a daily program of reprieve from compulsive eating behavior. It's a daily program from reprieve from slipping into negative, depressive thinking. So it's important to me to go to meetings, to be diligent about doing my readings, and to use the telephone, and I don't know, just stay an active part of the program. And I love the fact of, well, when we say we're all together now, holding out our hands with a power and strength greater than ourselves. And as we join hands, we find what love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. And it is so true for me. It's that we part of the program, because I could not do this by myself. Or if I were, it were just me going to a diet or a counselor or somebody trying to counsel me and what to eat. It's the emotional part of people being honest and sharing our struggles. So I love this program. Other than having three wonderful adult children and some five grandkids, it's the best part of my life. And I intend to hang around and be part of OA to the day I croak. So, and I tend to stay healthy and take care of my body. I walk, I swim, I go to different exercises, classes, and that's part of what I love, taking care of my body. And my food behavior is a big part of that. Hey, thanks for asking me to speak. Thanks for listening. And I look forward to hearing what other people have to say. I pass.
Oh.